Well, it's a privilege to be here tonight, to be with each one of you in October of 2014. I felt like the closer that I came to the campgrounds, the stress and anxieties of the world began to kind of leave the car. What do they call that? White sulfur springs? Is that what that's called? Wasn't too far past that, and I think I lost cell phone coverage. I think that was about the best thing that happened. Work can't get a hold of me if they want to. You all are blessed not to have cell phone coverage in this area. I put in that CD that I just got of the Myrtle congregational singing. I don't know if you heard that. That is some of the best congregational singing. And it seemed like the closer I got, the Lord just blessed my soul and filled me to overflowing, and I'm happy to be here. And if you'll grant me, will you grant me a couple extra minutes to testify tonight? I have an Ebenezer stone here in Green Bank. It was 29 years ago we came here in 1985 to the camp meeting. That's the last time I was here. And I was a 14-year-old teenager here. And one morning I was walking down, I believe it's the same road that runs over here. I was walking by myself one morning, and the Lord began to deal with my heart about being filled with His Spirit. Began to deal with my heart about having a closer walk with Him. And it was a sweet morning. My heart wanted to do that. And would you be surprised, but that's the message that came that night. Was being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I went to the altar and asked the Lord if He would fill me with His Spirit. And I want to tell you tonight that the Lord has been faithful to me these past 29 years. His Spirit has been patient with me. He's led me. He's taught me. He's been very merciful to me. I've had a few broken arms and a couple black eyes, probably more than once, skinned my nose and my legs, shins. But the Lord has been faithful to pick me up. And I want to tell you tonight that I have absolutely zero regrets of having lived for the Lord. There's no better way. There's no other God that I would want to serve than the God of gods, our Creator. We serve the same God tonight that our distant fathers served. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the apostles and the disciples, the same Jesus that they followed. Tonight we have the opportunity to follow, to have a personal relationship, and have the power of God work through us just like they did back then. And I'm here to tell you that I have experienced the personal relationship with the Lord, and I'm so very thankful for it. I just want to thank the Lord for that tonight. Coming up here had some special meeting. I thought about that road. Thought about the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of His Spirit. I desire your prayers in this meeting. I told the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to stand behind the pulpit if you're willing to preach. And I need the Lord. I feel very desperate for the Lord tonight. I did come with a burden. I feel like I came filled up. I pray that you would give me the liberty and the freedom to be able to preach the message that the Lord has given me. I will confess I don't know a whole lot about your lives and the backgrounds of your lives. I haven't been here for 29 years. And so I want to just preach my heart and trust that the Lord will bless it. He'll encourage it to you. I find that regardless of what is preached, there is always hope that's associated with the gospel. That no matter where we are, no matter what condition we find ourselves in, there is hope of the gospel because the price has been paid for us to have a relationship with the Lord that carries us all the way through to eternal life. I feel like the burden that the Lord has given me for this meeting is that we would have a renewed sense of spiritual urgency, to be about our Father's business, to have a renewed sense of spiritual urgency to our calling of discipleship, to have a renewed sense of urgency about living for the Lord and putting His cause before our own. Being willing to lay down our ways and the ways of this world and becoming more awake spiritually. I will tell you tonight that I am alarmed. I'm alarmed by what I see. I'm alarmed by what I see in the world. I'm alarmed by what I see, the influences that come in among us. I believe it was Amos that talked about those that were asleep in Zion. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want you to be asleep. I don't want you to become comfortable just coming to church and maybe spending a few minutes each day reading your Bible, maybe doing a few things that would, you know, qualify for being spiritual things. God wants us to give Him our lives tonight. He wants us to be alive in our soul. He's coming back for a people that are alive spiritually, that have given their all to the Lord. And tonight I would like to start, I'll write it on the board. My little subject tonight is that we would have an unwavering strength of purpose. I'd like to start and read two verses this morning or this evening in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong." Watch ye, be awake, be alive, be observant. Understand what's happening around you. Don't be naive to what's going on. Understand the forces that are at work. Understand what the enemy looks like. Watch for it. Look for it. Stand fast in the faith. Don't be moved from the faith that the Word of God teaches us. Stand fast in it, because there are going to come forces that are going to try to push us off center. And the exhortation here was to stand fast in the faith. What faith? The faith that Christ brought. The faith of the Scripture, of the truth. Not a faith or a teaching that I come up with. Not a faith or a teaching that the modern Christian world comes up with, but stand fast in the faith of the Word of God. Stand fast in the faith of the Scripture, of His Spirit. He said, "Quit you like men." I don't know what you think about that, but real men don't quit when they have a purpose that needs to be fulfilled. Don't quit. If you want to quit and go to the side and not stand fast and be moved, that'll be your lot. That'll be where you end up. I want to stand fast. I want to be like a man. I want to fight till the end. Be strong. Now I'd like to read a verse in Ephesians 6 and 13. Pray for us this evening. Ephesians 6 and 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." It doesn't say part of it. It doesn't say put on the parts that you're comfortable with. It doesn't say take on the parts that are convenient for the day. But put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? To stand. When you've done everything you know to do, when you put on the whole armor of God, when you stand like a man, when you don't quit, When you do everything, and maybe there comes a time where you cannot see the end, and there will be those times. There will be those times where you'll be shaken, and you won't understand. And there will be times you'll feel like just, you know, falling to the ground. When you've done all, you stay standing. You stay standing. You continue to be strong. Why are these exhortations given? Why does the Lord tell us about the wise man and the foolish man and the storms that might come? Because they are here. They will come. They are a real and present danger. There are spiritual storms that will come, and they are here tonight. And I want to say this. Spiritual storms do not always come in the form of a violent, oppressive, something that your flesh recoils against. But the spiritual storms that are the most deceitful, that'll get us, that'll destroy us, sometimes they're storms that come and they look good and they sound good and they feel good. And there's storms that will wreck our lives if we allow it. We want to be firm in the faith. We want to stand strong. We want to know what the Word of God is teaching us. If there ever was a time to have an unwavering strength of purpose to live our lives after the cause of the Lord, it's today. There are storms of life that are coming against our society. We live in a backslidden society. We do. It's backslidden. There's storms of this world and of Satan and the enemy and the influences are coming against the church and his people. They're fighting against our children. Young parents, listen close. They're fighting against your children. We have to be aware. We have to understand what's going on. Let's not be naive. Let's not be as children and not understand what it is we're facing. We're facing real spiritual storms of life that are after us to overtake us. And I'm concerned by it. What is purpose? What comes to your mind when you think about purpose? Anyone? If you have purpose, what's a synonym for that? A reason? A reason to live. A reason to live. In other words, there's a reason. There's a purpose for something that comes after. What else? Purpose. A resolve. Are you resolved tonight? Are you resolved to give your heart and your life to the Lord in an unwavering manner? Are you resolved? Or are you resolved to do a lot of things? We must have resolve. We must have a reason and a purpose behind our lives. And we must get up each day with a purpose and a resolve and a reason to live that points straight to the Father. And if we don't, we're going to be lost. We're going to be influenced like the multitudes in this world are being influenced. I want to share with you what I'm going to call a human action model. I feel like the Lord revealed this to me. It's nothing profound, but it has stayed with me. I've preached and taught about it. As human beings, this is kind of the way that it works. Things can come our way that we completely disagree with. Things that we are that are a revulsion to us. We're exposed to it. And when we are exposed to something long enough, we become familiar with it. And familiarity breeds tolerance. And tolerance breeds acceptance. And acceptance too often breeds participation. And we could talk tonight about those very things that have happened over the course of time. Things that not just the Christian world, but the world in general would look at and say, that's not Christ-like. And yet today, we have churches. We have leaders of churches that are promoting and allowing things that are totally, completely contradictory to the Word of God. It wasn't that long ago where the world would tell you that divorce and remarriage is a problem. It wasn't that long ago. I heard something the other day about abortion, the statistics of the number of people that have had abortion, and it shocked me. It is astounding. Alternate lifestyles, I'm going to speak against it. It's wrong. It's directly contradictory to the Bible. True. The Old Testament all the way through. It's a sin. It's wrong. And these things started out as things that we were exposed to. Didn't necessarily agree with them, but we were exposed to them. And after a while, people started becoming familiar with it. Oh yeah, well my neighbor is in that situation. Yeah, I know about that. Oh yeah, so and so. Pretty soon, we're tolerating it. It's like, well, you know, those are pretty good people down the street. They're nice people. I know them. I've eaten dinner with them. They're good people. They're just, you know, they're just a little misguided. And we start tolerating it and making excuses for things that are wrong. And then pretty soon we start accepting it. And it's like, well, you know, maybe that's not exactly where I am, but you know, God's bigger than I am and He understands the heart, and if it works for them, then maybe I ought to just back off and maybe not say a whole lot about it. And the enemy's perfectly content for this progression to take place. And then we have mass participation. Over half of the marriages end in divorce and remarriage. Fornication is happening all over the place. I heard the other day that divorce rate was actually going down. I thought, well, that's good. Until they said, the reason it's going down is people say, well, why get married? You know, I mean, that's just kind of an unnecessary hassle. Might as well just live together and everything. You know, if you need to break up, then you don't have the legal mess to worry about. You don't have the commitment. And the very thing that God instituted to represent Christ and the church and the picture that He wanted us to get between a man and a woman and the bride of Christ and holiness and purity and commitment is now just thrown out as unnecessary and okay. Same with abortions. The same thing is happening with the movement today with all these alternate lifestyles. Maybe most of us in here would say, well, we don't agree with that. I will tell you, I am concerned for my children and my coming grandchildren and their children, because I see more and more and more and more of it all around us. And people are becoming so familiar with it that they're starting to make excuses for it and tolerating it and accepting it. And then it starts and people say, well, maybe there is something to it. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I ought to try it. I've heard that. People say, well, I'm just trying it. We need to be awake to this. And the enemy will use little things to come in bring things into our homes. Things that we watch. Things that we listen to. Places that we go. And people say, well, what's so wrong with that? Why does your church teach against that? Because we're concerned about keeping ourselves holy and righteous and not expose ourselves to unnecessary things that causes a breakdown in our faith. And the thing that alarms me, the burden that I want to express to you tonight is that we would be talking about the heathen and the world that promote these things. And my concern tonight is that it's modern Christianity that is making allowance for these things. It's modern Christianity that is coming and shaking us in our faith, even though it's directly contradictory to the Word. What was it Paul said? He said, what happened? You ran well. You were doing okay. How was it that you ended up like this? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The enemy is perfectly content to start sliding things into our lives tonight. Into our homes. Our next door neighbors. Places that we go, perfectly content to start small and let it grow from exposure to familiarity to tolerance to acceptance to participation. There's a story in the Old Testament, and for the sake of time, we won't turn to it. Do you remember the story of Jeroboam and the man of God? King Jeroboam had turned from the Lord. He began to erect altars and offer sacrifices to other gods. And the Lord sent a man of God to Jeroboam. And he came and he prophesied against the altars. And he said, he told the king was within hearing, he prophesied against him and he said, these altars are going to be rent and the ashes are going to flow out. And he prophesied against it. And when he got done, it said King Jeroboam lifted out his hand against him and told his men to take hold of him. Because he didn't like him prophesying against the altars. And you remember what happened? His hand was withered. And so that he couldn't draw it back. And at the same time, the altars were rent and the ashes flowed out. And King Jeroboam said, then he prayed to him and said, pray to your God that my hand can be healed. And so Jeroboam prayed and the Lord had mercy and he healed his hand and restored it. And then the king said, come to my house and refresh yourself. And the man of God said, I can't do that. And I won't do that because the Lord told me that I was to go home and that I wasn't to eat or drink until I got back home. He said, if you offered me half of your house, I wouldn't do it. And it would have been good if the story ended there, but it didn't end there. So the man of God went his way. And there were the sons of another prophet who went and told their dad, an old prophet, told him everything that happened. So he got on his animal and he went and he found him and he said, come to my house and eat and drink. And he said, no, I can't do that. The Lord said, don't do it. The Lord said, don't do it. I can't do it. And the prophet said, remember what he said? He said, I'm a man of God just like you are. He said, I'm a prophet just like you are. And the Lord told me that it was okay for you to come to my house and eat and drink. That's what the Lord told me. And I'm just like you. We're serving the same God. And it's okay for you to... He told me it was okay. And so Jeroboam went... The man of God went to this old prophet's house. And this just strikes me. I mean, The very man that told him to come to his house because the Lord told him that, the word of the Lord came to that prophet while they were eating, and he cries out and says, "You disobeyed the Lord. The Lord told you not to come and eat and drink. And because you did this," he said, "your carcass won't lie with your father's." And then you know the story. He left and a lion came out and killed him because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. And I thought about that story and I wonder what the man of God would have said if the old prophet came to him and said, "Why don't you come to my house to be refreshed?" And the man of God said, "Well, no, I can't do that. The Lord told me that I needed to go home by a different way and not eat and drink till I go there." And what do you think he would have said? He says, "Well, I'm a man of God too, just like you are. And he told me that you needed to come to my house and work in my fields for a week. Hard manual labor. I understand you can't eat or drink. You can do that after you get done laboring in my fields. But God told me that you were supposed to do that and then you can go home and eat and drink." What do you think he would have said? Yeah, he said, "That's not what the Lord told me." I mean, he had eating and drinking on his mind. The Lord said, "You can go home and eat and drink." If it were me, I'd look at the guy and think, "Are you crazy? You want me to come work in your fields and you're telling me that God told you to tell me that I was supposed to come work in your fields for a week without eating or drinking and then I could go home?" I don't think so. I think I'm going to go on home just like the Lord told me to do. I think that's something like that probably would have happened. But you see, that's not what happened. What happened was that the man of God was probably hungry. He was probably thirsty. And so it worked out pretty well. The first time, I mean, he wanted to serve God. And so when Jeroboam said, "Come eat and drink," he said, "No, I can't do that. The Lord said I need to go home." But the second person that came involved God. He invoked God's name. He pulled the Lord into the picture. And he said, "Oh, hey, I'm just like you are. I'm a prophet just like you are. And I'll tell you what, he said you could eat and drink at my house." Do you see the point? Do you see what's happening today in our world? It's not just the heathens that are coming and telling us, "Hey, you don't need to do that. You don't need to live that way. It's not important for you to, you know, not go to all the entertainment of the world and all the games and the concerts and bring in all the shows and dress like what they called saints of old and be so particular about being faithful in your marriage." And I mean, that's old stuff. You don't have to do that anymore. It's not just the heathens that are bringing us that message. It's people that are coming our way and saying, "Hey, I'm serving the same God you are. I'm going the same place you are." Do you remember Pilgrim's Progress? You remember when Christian went through a wicket gate? And he went through and he was on his way to heaven. And he was walking along and he'd done what he was supposed to do and passed through the gate. And all of a sudden he saw this pack come flying over the wall and landed in front of him. He thought, "Well, what's that?" Then he saw a leg climb over the wall and this guy hops down. He said, Where'd you come from? You know, where are you going?" He says, "Well, I'm going to the heavenly city." He said, "Huh? I thought you were supposed to enter in at the gate back there." "Oh, well, that wasn't what he wanted to do. He wanted to come over the wall. He wanted to come in another way." Jesus spoke about those. He said, "The same as a thief and a robber. You're trying to take something that's not yours to take." But he came and he said, "I'm going the same place you are." And modern Christianity today is coming our way with a message of, you don't have to do that and you can still serve the Lord. You can still live for God, you can still make heaven. And instead of telling that you have to sacrifice more, which we would turn away from, would we not? The message is, and the Lord said that it's okay to do all these things that our flesh is naturally drawn to. And so then I think of the man of God that was deceived by the prophet that lied to him. And he lost his life. He lost his life. I wonder what the conversation was like between him and the Lord when he got up there. I wonder if the Lord said, "What? Why'd you do that? What'd you do? I told you what to do." "Well, I didn't know." "You didn't know? I told you." "Well, but he said he was." "But what did I say? What did I show you? Were you as diligent about understanding the will of the Lord when it was something that you wanted to do as you would have been if it was something you didn't want to do?" See, there's a trend. This is the trend, saints. The trend is it's always downward. It's always taking on more and more of what we want to do, and it's less and less of taking on the cause of Christ. That's the trend. All you have to do is look at it. Have you ever been to the coast where the water comes in and it goes out, it comes in, it goes out, and sometimes you see people, I've done it, where you walk along the shoreline. But you don't want to get wet, but you want to be as close to the water as possible. And you see kids, you know, they run from the water and the water goes back out and they run back out to it. And the water goes further out and they go further out. They're still separated from the water, right? But invariably, a wave, waters come with more force than they reckoned. And invariably, they walk away wet. They walk away, I've walked away wet. Contaminated, spotted. But they could be going along saying, "But Mom, but Dad, I know you told me not to get wet, but I was trying to stay separate. I wasn't trying to get into it." "Yeah, but I told you to stay over here. This is where I told you to stay. Why were you down there?" "Yeah, but I wasn't trying to get wet." Do you know there's a difference between being separate from the world and being in alignment with God? It seems like today a lot of people are spiritually trying to run along the water's edge. The Lord says, "This is the word of God. Live this way. I am the Lord. I change not." He said that in Malachi. "I am the Lord. I change not. This is the word of the Lord. Live this way." And yet people sometimes think, "Well, I'm better than the world. I'm not doing everything they're doing. I'm still maintaining some separation." And yet invariably they get wet. They become spotted. And then what happens? The tide goes out. They chase the tide and they keep saying, I'm still not where the world is." And yet now they're standing exactly where the world was. It gives me pause. And I have a genuine, strong burden for our church family, for our children, for these little ones that are coming. Saints, we must be unwavering in our strength of purpose to stand in the faith. We must be willing to get a hold of the Lord and ask Him, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, it's not enough for me just to try to have a sense of security because I'm not wading out into the waters of the world and I'm maintaining some kind of distance and the Christian world kind of agrees with what I'm doing. That's not enough. God, help me to get serious in my soul. Lord, help me to have a sense of urgency to be filled with Your Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Do you have a burning in your heart? Remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? Remember after they were in the presence of the Lord? Do you remember what they said they went away with? Said, hey, did you feel what I felt? What'd you feel? Well, when we were walking down the road and he was talking about this stuff, I had this burn going on down inside of me. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I was feeling the same thing. Did you know that God wants us to be so close to Him that we feel the burn down in our hearts of His Spirit, that He's there and He's alive and He's working? Are you there tonight? It's going to mean something. This life is so fleeting. This life passes so fast. I was talking to somebody the other day who has lived life for themselves, and now they're approaching eternity. They don't have very long to live, and they know it. They're about to go out. And their comment was, I see things differently now. My perspective is different. He said, when you're standing where I am, right on the edge of meeting the Lord, things look different. He said, I was off. I wasn't living right. I missed it. We don't have any guarantees in our life. We cannot afford to play games with our souls. We cannot afford to be comforted by the accommodating voices of other self-proclaimed Christians who say, this is okay. The Lord's bigger than that. You're not going to be really hurt by that. Just make sure your heart's right. Just shut, you know, when you hear things or see things that aren't right, just you the Lord can give you grace. Really? Didn't the Lord tell the devil? Yeah, and the scripture says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. The devil said, why don't you jump off? So why would I want? He says, well, the angels can bear. Yep, yeah, but why would I tempt the Lord? Why would we go put ourselves in situations that are potentially compromising, that are unnecessary, and then say, well, the Lord has power and strength for me? And the Lord said, well, why are you doing that? Why are you out chasing the waves? Get back up where I am. Get back up where solid ground is. Be unwavering. Yes. Dare to be a Daniel. You remember the story of Daniel? Daniel faced a situation where his life was at stake and the numbers were against him. And the numbers convinced the king to make a decree. And they tried to make the king think that everybody was in on it. So if everybody's in on it, it must be okay. All the captains and all the princes and all the presidents, they said, and all the governors, we've all got together and we've decided this is a good decree. And it appealed to the king's flesh. And he was deceived and he said, okay. And he signed it. And there was Daniel. What did Daniel do? He did the same thing he always had done. He purposed in his heart he was going to serve the Lord regardless. And he did. And the Lord brought him out into a wealthy place just like He wants to bring you out into a wealthy place. Those lions couldn't do anything that the Lord didn't give them power to do. And the ones that looked like were coming out on top, just like when David looked at the ungodly and said he was envious against the ungodly because it seemed like they were prospering and everything was going well for them. And here's David trying to do what's right and yet nothing's going right. But he went into the sanctuary and then he understood their end. And it wasn't a good end. And those men that went to King Darius, boy, they thought they had it sewn up, wrapped up, done deal. especially after they threw him in the den, until the next morning when they opened it up with a king that was very distraught and a voice responded. The king must have wondered. He called to him, "Hey, Daniel, is your God? Was he able? Oh, king, live forever. I'm here." And what happened to those men? The judgment time came for them, just like it will for every single one that lives after their flesh. And who else was affected? Was it just the men? Who else was affected?
Their family.
Their wives. And their children. Their innocent children were thrown to the lions. I don't want my children. I don't want my grandchildren. I don't want those that are influenced by the way that I live my life to lose their life because I'm willing to make a new decree. New decree because everybody's come together and said it's okay now. The Lord's already made the decree. I am the Lord and I change not. And the Lord tonight is looking for a people that will follow Him with unwavering strength of purpose. Are you willing to be part of that number? There's no better number to be part of.
That's right.
Yes, if you're standing alone but you have Jesus standing by your side, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like having that burn down in your heart of being in the presence of the Almighty God. And His invitation is to all of us to come. His invitation to us is to come. You can be a dependable servant of the Lord. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the strength. And if you've done wrong, I'll pick you up. I'll set your feet on solid ground. I'll put a new song in your heart.
Sure.
It's up to us. And everybody here tonight has the opportunity to be saved. We all have the opportunity to be men of God. All of us here tonight, the Lord can say of us, "Have you considered my servant?" And insert your name. I want to live that way. Let's be determined tonight to have unwavering strength of purpose, to be watchful to the influences that would come, to be willing to stand strong and firm and get serious before God every day, every hour. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Pray for me. I want to be true.